نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with لمعة الاعتقاد, the book of creed and belief compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last week we had the section which came after some sections, after a few lessons with regard to the speech of Allah the Most High in general. We had a specific section with regard to the Qur'an in particular, that the Qur'an is indeed the speech of Allah. So with regard to what we had last time, then who can remember what Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhahullah said concerning the saying the speech of Allah is eternal? To say that the speech of Allah is eternal, what comment did Shaykh al-Fawzan make about this statement? Indeed, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that it is not correct to unrestrictedly state that Allah's speech is eternal, and not to clarify it or restrict it any further, but rather what is correct is to say that Allah's speech in its type is eternal. I mean that Allah has always had the attribute of speech, He the Most High. But as for the individual instances of Allah speaking, then they newly come about. Just as when Allah the Most High spoke to Musa alayhi salam, and when He spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when He spoke with the Qur'an, and so on. So we say Allah's speech in its type is eternal. But with regard to the individual instances, then Allah's speech is an action of His, which He does as He wishes, when He wishes. Who can answer the question that, is it correct that Allah's words are limited to what occurs in the Qur'an? Do we say Allah's words are just what occurs in the Qur'an and that's it? Or not?
No, because the Qur'an is just an individual instance.
Yeah. No. But we do not say that the Qur'an is from the speech of Allah, no doubt. But that is, no one knows and no one can enumerate the words of Allah. There are so many that no one can enumerate His words except Him, He the Most High. That whenever He commands something or forbids something or orders provision for something or creates something, He speaks. So His words are so many that no one can enumerate His words except Him alone. Who can remember who is Ar-Ruhul Amin, literally the trustworthy spirit? Who does that refer to? It refers to Jibreel alayhi salam, the noble angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And who can mention where did Jibreel alayhi salam take the Quran from? That Jibreel alayhi salam conveyed the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where did he take it from? That Jibreel alayhi salam took the Quran not from the preserved tablet, not from the Allah al-Mahfuz, rather he took it from Allah the Most High. Allah the Most High spoke with it and Jibreel conveyed it from Him. What does the saying that the Quran will return to Allah, that the Quran originated from Allah and to Him it will return, what does that saying mean, that the Quran will return to Allah?
Is that before the day of judgment that the
points will be taken, then the Vusats and the lower technical back up.
Indeed, it means, as occurs in some narrations, that before the end of time, at the end of time, before the last hour, that the Qur'an will be taken up to Allah. Will be taken up so that nothing from it remains upon the earth. Nothing in the hearts of men and nothing on the pages of the Mus'haf. We also had a point that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that something having many names and many attributes indicates something. What does it indicate? It indicates that something has many different names and different qualities, that it is something great and tremendous. Like Yawm al-Qiyamah, and as we had here, like the Qur'an. Who can remember that the Qur'an was described as being mubeen, clear? Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that this carries two meanings. Who can remember these two meanings?
It's plain and simple, and it's distinct, and it clarifies everything in the world and in the hereafter.
Yeah. Firstly, it in itself is clear and plain and distinct. And then secondly, that it clarifies. It clarifies for the servants whatever they need with regard to their worldly life and with regard to their hereafter. Who can also remember that the Hablullah, the rope of Allah, was mentioned? Then what is the rope of Allah? What is the rope of Allah?
The Quran.
Yeah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that indeed, in accordance with the authentic hadith, that the rope of Allah is the Quran. Shaykh al-Fawzan also mentioned a number of sayings in explanation of as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Who can remember the different sayings with regard to the straight path? What is the straight path mentioned in the different ayahs where it occurs? Some say it means the Qur'an. Some say it means the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some say it means Islam. And of course, there is no contradiction between these. Because the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt he came with the religion of Islam and he came with the Quran. There's no contradiction between these. With regard to the phrase that the Quran originated from Allah, what point do we take? What point of benefit do we take from this, that the Qur'an originated from Allah? What point do we take from that, or what do we understand from that? No. A bit more. Yeah. That indeed it means that Allah the Most High spoke with the Qur'an, that the Qur'an originated from Allah. It did not originate from someone other than Allah. It was not taken from Allah al-Mahfuz. It did not originate from the preserved tablet. Rather, it came from Allah the Most High. He spoke with it. He spoke with the Qur'an and Jibreel heard him, alayhi salam, and then he conveyed it. So then, to continue with this section, then the Imam Ibn Qudamah Al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, continued on what we have here in this Egyptian edition on page 124, in the Saudi edition, page 123. وَهُوَ سُوَرٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. The speech continuing with regard to the Qur'an. وَهُوَ سُوَرٌ Muhkamat, and it is perfect and precise surahs and it is perfect and precise surahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, the Qur'an is surahs and ayahs and words and letters. And as-suwar, and he explains the words, starting with the first one, suwar. He said, suwar is the plural of surah, suratun, which is a section of the Qur'an. A surah is a section of the Qur'an, which begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. A surah is a section of the Qur'an, which begins with this phrase, with the explanation, in the name of Allah, the extremely merciful, the bestower of mercy. And Bismillah is an ayah from the Qur'an. This phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is itself an ayah from the Qur'an, which came down to separate between the surahs. Except for between Surah Bara'ah and Al-Anfal. Obviously, Surah Bara'ah, the ninth surah, in other words, Surah At-Tawbah, what's also called Surah At-Tawbah, and Surah Al-Anfal, the eighth surah. That there is no separation between these two surahs with the saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I mean that Surah Bara'ah, the ninth surah, does not begin Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He said, أول هذه السور فاتحة الكتاب. The first of these surahs, the first of the surahs of the Qur'an, is فاتحة الكتاب. Means Surah Al-Fatiha, the first surah. Which is, الحمد لله رب العالمين. The ayah, that all praise, the explanation that all praise is for Allah, the Lord of the whole of creation. That is the first surah of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fatiha. And the last of them is Surah An-Nas. The last surah in the Qur'an is Surah An-Nas. And it is of 114 surahs. I mean, the whole Qur'an comprises 114 surahs. From them are those which are long, and from them are those which are medium in length, and from them are those which are short. Obviously, as is clear to everyone, the longer ones coming at the start and the shorter ones towards the end. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains the word as-surah in the language. He said, as-surah in origin means something which is protected and raised. And then he quotes a line of poetry in this regard. He said, An-Nabigha said in praising An-Nu'man ibn al-Munzir, Alam tara anna Allah a'taka suratan tara kulla malkin dunaha yatadhabdhabu. And there's a word missed out, as usual in this Egyptian edition here. Tara kulla malkin dunaha yatadhabdhabu. The line of poetry with the rough, very rough explanation. Do you not see that Allah has given you a surah? Do you not see that Allah has given you a lofty position, such that you see every dominion lesser than it wavering to and fro? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and as-surah, I mean the word as-surah, means a raised station. So he's described this word, the word as-surah of the Qur'an, the origin of the word in the language. What's it originally refer to? He said, as-surah is a raised station. And from this, the surahs of the Qur'an were so called because of their elevation, because of their loftiness, and because they are impregnable. I mean, they're very strongly defended. Because as the Shaykh already said, a surah in origin in the language, it means two things, something protected, something well protected, and something raised. So the surahs of the Qur'an are called surahs because of their loftiness, and secondly, because they are very strongly defended, they are impregnable. He said, explaining, no one can make any attempt upon them to add anything, or to delete anything, or to distort. So the Qur'an is protected and remains just as it came down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has not been changed, and nothing from it has been altered, because Allah has guaranteed that He will guard and preserve it. He, the Majestic and Most High, said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Surah Al-Hijr, the ninth surah, Allah musta'an. 15th surah. Surah Al-Hijr, the ninth ayah. 15th, I think, unless I'm incorrect, I think it's the 15th surah. In any case, Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 9, with the explanation that we have indeed sent down the reminder, and we will certainly guard it. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so no one, despite the large number of enemies who have hatred, no one has been able to change anything from the speech of Allah, or to add or delete. Meaning, in other words, despite the large number of enemies who would wish to do so, yet no one has been able to do so, to change anything from it, to add or delete. He said, this is from the signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, that Allah has guarded His book from being played around with, and He will continue to guard it until Allah inherits the earth and whoever is upon it. No one can overcome it, despite the great number of opponents and the great number of enemies. And if anyone tried anything from that, then Allah, the Perfect and Most High, would expose him and humiliate him, just as happened to Musaylamah, the great liar, the one who claimed that Qur'an used to come down to him. فَدَحَهُ اللَّهُ. So Allah exposed him and humiliated him, and he became the laughingstock of the world. I mean, this individual who was alive in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and claimed the Qur'an came down to him as well. He claimed a share of prophethood, and he wanted to make a deal. He sent a message to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to make a deal to share prophethood. And then he claimed that the Qur'an came down to him, and he came with some nonsense lines that he claimed were from his Qur'an, which people only laughed at. And then he was killed in the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum. So the Shaykh said, so he became the laughingstock of the world. He said, and likewise, everyone who attempts to imitate the Qur'an then Allah, the Majestic and Most High, will expose him and humiliate him and will make him a laughingstock for the people. Indeed, he will destroy him, just as happened to Musaylamah and others. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explained the word muhkamat from the saying of the Imam, وَهُوَ سُوَرٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ. And the Qur'an is perfect and precise surahs. So he explained this word muhkamat. He said, meaning mutqanat, perfect and precise, from the word al-ihkam, which means to do something precisely. To do something precisely. So the Qur'an, all of it, is muhkam, with the meaning that it is perfect and precise. Mutqan. So the whole of the Qur'an with this meaning is muhkam, meaning the whole of it is perfect and precise. And he gives an evidence, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ. Surah Hud, the 11th surah, the first ayah, with the explanation, this is a book, the Qur'an, this is a book, whose ayahs are precise and perfect, and then explained in detail. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so it, all of it, is muhkam, with the meaning that it is precise and perfect. Then he makes another point, and all of it is mutashabih, with the meaning that each part of it resembles the rest in beauty and truthfulness and in sweetness of wording. So here the Shaykh gives a meaning that earlier on in the book we had a meaning of muhkam and mutashabih. The Shaykh gives a different meaning here. That the Qur'an in this sense is muhkam, with the meaning muhkam, meaning perfect and precise. That replies to the whole of the Qur'an. And likewise it is mutashabih, with the meaning each part yashbahu ba'duhu ba'dan. Each part of the Qur'an resembles the rest in beauty and truthfulness and sweetness of wording. He said, just as Allah the Most High said, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaban mutashabiha. The ayah where this word occurs, mutashabih, Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 23, with the explanation, Allah sent down the best of speech, a book which is mutashabih, a book whose parts resemble each other. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaban mutashabiha. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, each part of it resembles the others in beauty and in perfect precision and in clarity of expression and in eloquence. So in this sense, with this meaning, the whole of the Qur'an is muhkam, perfect and precise, and it is also mutashabih, that each part of the Qur'an resembles the rest, and is similar to the rest. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan, having mentioned this meaning of muhkam mutashabih, he indicates what came before, that there is a different meaning that we had before with regard to muhkam and mutashabih. So he indicates that here and says, and it also has that which is muhkam, that which is immediately apparent and clear. And it has that which is mutashabih, that which requires further clarification. He said, and what this means is part of it being made clear and apparent, and part of it requiring further clarification. I mean, some parts of the Quran are immediately apparent, muhkam, and some parts are mutashabih, require further clarification. I mean, some ayahs require, to clarify their meaning, require to be looked in the light of other ayahs. Then he said, and the muhkam, the decisive, clear ayahs, as we have previously known, is that which does not require anything else to explain it, because it is clear by itself. And the mutashabih is the general wording which needs something else to explain it. This is the meaning that we had earlier in the book with regard to the ayah from Surah Ali Imran. There are some ayahs in the Quran which are muhkam with the meaning that they are immediately clear and apparent with regard to their meaning. And there are other ayahs which are mutashabih. Their meaning is not immediately apparent until they are taken in the light of other ayahs which clarify them. The Shaykh said, Allah the Most High said, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 7. This being the ayah that we had before when this matter came up of muhkam and mutashabih. With the explanation, He, Allah, is the one who sent down the book to you. From it, there are some ayahs which are muhkam, which are clear and apparent. They are the foundation of the book. And there are others which are mutashabihat, which are unclear when they are taken alone. Shaykh Fawzan said, so we have known, therefore, that the Quran, all of it, can be termed muhkam, perfect and precise, all of it. I mean, the whole Quran can be called muhkam, meaning the whole of it is perfect and precise. And the whole of it can be termed mutashabih, meaning that each part of it resembles the rest. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And some of it, now with the second meaning that we've just had here, some of it can be termed muhkam. And some of it can be termed mutashabih. I mean, with the original meaning, that some ayahs are immediately clear and some are only clear when they're taken in the light of other ayahs. He said, and this is what is called al-ihkam and at-tashabuh, which is general. This is a general ihkam and at-tashabuh. And ihkam and tashabuh, which is specific. I mean, there's a general and there is a specific sense to each of these terms. And each of them also has a specific meaning. And what the Shaykh is indicating here is that with regard to the general meaning of muhkam and mutashabih, then meaning the muhkam, with the general meaning, means perfect and precise. And the whole of the Qur'an is muhkam, perfect and precise, with that general meaning. And likewise, the whole of the Qur'an is mutashabih, with the general meaning of mutashabih, which means each part resembles the rest. And as for the specific meaning, then the muhkam, meaning those ayahs which are immediately apparent with regard to their meaning. That's the specific meaning of muhkam. Then that is some of the ayahs, not all of them. And likewise, At-tashabuh, in the specific sense, mean that those ayahs which are not clear on their own until they're taken in the light of other ayahs. That's the specific meaning of tashabuh. Some of the ayahs are like that, not all of them. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, وَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ Not the Qur'an, with regard to the Qur'an still. وَآيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ And clear ayahs. And it is clear ayahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, He the Most High said, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th surah, ayah 49. With the explanation, Rather, it is clear ayahs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining this word ayat, he said it is the plural of ayah, the word of an ayah of the Qur'an. So ayat is the plural of ayah. And an ayah in the language means a sign. So an ayah of the Qur'an is called an ayah because it is an indication and a sign of the greatness of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So an ayah in the language is an indication and a sign. And it is of two types. I mean, an ayah of Allah, a sign of Allah, or an ayah of Allah, is of two types. Ayatun matluwatun wa ayatun makhluqatun. So ayahs are of two types. A recited ayah and a created ayah. And he says, al-ayatun matluwa, the recited ayah, that is the ayahs of the Qur'an. And the created ayah is like the sun and the moon and the night and the day and the trees and mankind and the oceans and the rivers. These are ayat, these are signs. They are called signs because they are indications and signs of the ability of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And as for the ayahs which are recited, then they are the revelation which was sent down from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And all of these are called ayahs, signs, because they indicate the greatness of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and show His rulings and revealed laws, He the Perfect and Most High. And so both of these are called ayat, signs. The ayahs of the Qur'an, the recited ayahs, and the ayahs which Allah has created in the creation, the sun and the moon and the night and the day and so on. They're all called ayat, signs. So there are two meanings for ayah, a sign. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, Rahimahullah, he continued, وَحُرُوفٌ وَكَلِمَاتٌ And letters and words. It is, the Qur'an is, letters and words. And letters and words. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the noble Qur'an is letters and words and ayahs. And then he goes on to explain the first of these words, huruf. He said, huruf, letters, are the well-known letters of the alphabet. Alif, ba, ta, to the end of the 28 letters of the alphabet. I mean the 28 letters of the Arabic alphabet. These huruf, these letters, are called letters. From the term al-harf, which means the edge of something, or the cutting edge. Al-taraf means the edge of something, or the cutting edge. They are called this because they are cut off. And then he explains that they do not indicate a meaning on their own. I mean the letters of the alphabet, ba. On its own, ba doesn't have a meaning. Or ta, it doesn't have a meaning. They are cut out, they are cut off. They don't have a meaning on their own. So they are called huruf, letters. He said, they do not indicate a meaning on their own unless they are assembled along with others. Some letters are put together. So if letters are assembled, then words are formed. If letters are assembled, huruf are assembled, a kalima, a word, is formed. And when words are assembled, a sentence is formed. When a kalima is joined along with another kalima, then a jumla, a sentence, is formed. Whether it be ismiya or fi'aliya, whether that sentence is a nominal sentence or a verbal sentence. I mean, whether the sentence begins with a noun or begins with a verb, roughly that. He said, so it, I mean the Qur'an, is letters and words and ayahs. So the Qur'an is composed of those Arabic letters. And from these letters, the words of the Qur'an are made up. And from the words of the Qur'an, the ayahs of the Qur'an are made up. And from the ayahs of the Qur'an, the surahs of the Qur'an are composed. And from these surahs, together, the tremendous Qur'an and the clear book is composed. So therefore, it is letters and words and ayahs and surahs. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continued, مَنْ قَرَأَهُ فَأَعْرَبَهُ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ. Whoever recites it correctly, then he will receive 10 good deeds for every letter. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whoever recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, meaning he recites it with correct recitation, not containing any lahan, not containing any grammatical mistakes, he said, and i'raab here, I mean reciting the Qur'an with i'raab in this sense, he said i'raab means staying free of any lahan, staying free of any grammatical mistake. I'raab with regard to recitation of the Qur'an here, what it means is keeping free of making any grammatical mistakes. So whoever recites the Qur'an with a recitation free of any grammatical mistakes, then for every letter he will receive 10 good deeds. Because a good deed is rewarded with 10 of its like. And whoever recites it with a recitation which is not precise and correct, because he is unable to do so, then he will receive a reward. But it will be less than the reward of the one who makes his recitation precise and correct. I mean, the person who is unable to recite the Qur'an with grammatic correctness, he still receives reward for reciting, but it will be less than the person who recites with a grammatically correct recitation. The Shaykh said, therefore there occurs in the hadith, al-mahiru bil-Qur'an ma'a safarati al-kiram al-barara والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. The hadith, as I mentioned, the footnote being a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Muslim from a hadith of Aisha رضي الله عنها. that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who is a skilled reciter of the Quran will be with the noble angels who are scribes. And the person who recites the Quran and stumbles with it, and it is difficult for him, will receive two rewards. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, declared the person who is precise in the recitation and who keeps it safe from grammatical mistakes and errors, he made him to be, or he declared him to be, with those angels, those noble angels who are scribes, to be with those honorable angels who are scribes. So he will be greater in reward than the one who recites the Quran and stumbles with it, and it is difficult for him. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah continued, لَهُ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ. It has a beginning and an end. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Qur'an has a beginning and an end, meaning it has a beginning and an end. Its beginning in accordance with the Mus'haf, with the written copy, which the companions were agreed upon, is Surah Al-Fatiha, and its end is Surah An-Nas. And the Imam continued, وَأَجْزَاءٌ وَأَبْعَادٌ, and sections and parts. The Qur'an has sections and parts. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Qur'an has parts. As is well known, it has 30 juz. It has 30 parts. Each part, each juz, being of 10 pages. 10 double pages like that. And it is also Ahzab, the plural of Hizb. So there is the Hizb such and such, and the Hizb such and such, meaning a Hizb being well known as being half of a juz. And these Hizbs, the Ahzab, plural of Hizb, means the amount which the reciter would recite in the night prayer. The companions used to recite the Qur'an, Hizb by Hizb. In one Hizb, one half a juz, and then the next one, and the next one, like that. And dividing them up between the rak'ahs. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama continued with what we'll take as being the last part today, insha'Allah. Matluun bil alsina, mahfuzun fis sudur, masmu'un bil adhan, maktubun fil masahif, maktubun fil masahif. It is recited in the Quran, it is recited with the tongues, preserved in the chests, heard with the ears, written in the mushafs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the Quran is what is recited with the tongues. And just in case it crosses someone's mind that this seems fairly obvious what the Imam is quoting here, then there have been deviant groups and innovators in the past who have denied parts of this. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Quran is what is recited with the tongues, and what is preserved in the chests, and what is written in the mushafs, in the written copies. And it is the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. In all aspects, whether it be recited or written in the mushafs, in the written copies, or it is preserved in the chests, it is the speech of Allah, the majestic and most high. I mean, all of these senses, it is still the speech of Allah, the Most High. There is no disagreement about that. So the reciter, when he recites, then he is reciting the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So the voice is the voice of the reciter. And that is created. However, what is being read and recited is the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. It is not created. And this is a very important point the Sheikh is making here, that some large numbers of innovators in the past went astray with regard to this point. So just repeat the point the Sheikh makes. He said, so the reciter, the reciter who is reciting the Qur'an, the reciter, when he recites, he is reciting only the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So the voice, the voice that the reciter is reciting with, is the voice of the reciter. And that is created. The person's individual voice, that is created. However, what he is reading and what he is reciting is the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. It is not created. Because this is the point where some of the Jahmiyyah, those who deny the attributes of Allah, when they were refuted by the likes of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, when they tried to say the Qur'an is created, and they were refuted and humiliated, then they tried through a second door. They tried to revive their saying through this door here. They said, what about when a person recites the Qur'an? Is that not created? So then the scholars responded to that as well. And they clarified the matter here. As Sheikh Fawzan clarifies it here, that when a person recites the Qur'an, then what he is reciting is still the speech of Allah, not created. But as for his individual voice, then no doubt the person's individual voice, his voice is created. But as for what he's reciting the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and that is not created. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and what is written is the speech of Allah, its letters and its meanings. However, and again, in case someone misunderstands the point here, with regard to the Mus'haf of the Qur'an, someone may misunderstand, so the Sheikh makes it very clear for us. He says, what is written is the speech of Allah, its letters and its meanings. However, the pages and the ink and the writing are from the actions of humans, so they are created. But it is the speech of Allah in any aspect, whether it be recited upon the tongues or preserved in the chests or written upon tablets or upon pages or mushafs or written in that which is higher than that, which is Allahul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Because indeed the Qur'an is written in the preserved tablet, Allahul Mahfuz. In case someone misunderstood the point from before, that when Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that Jibreel took the Qur'an directly from Allah, he did not take it from the preserved tablet. It doesn't mean the Qur'an is not contained in the preserved tablet, but he was describing the way in which Jibreel took the Qur'an. He didn't go and transcribe it from the preserved tablet. He heard it from Allah. However, the Qur'an is indeed contained within the preserved tablet, Allahul Mahfuz. Sheikh Fawzan said, quoting the ayah, وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. The fourth ayah of Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd surah. Surah Az-Zukhruf, 43rd surah, ayah 4, with the explanation, and it is contained in the foundation of the book. The Qur'an is contained in the foundation of the book with us. Indeed, it is exalted, full of wisdom. Shaykh Fawzan said, and the foundation of the book, Ummul Kitab, is Allahul Mahfuz, is the preserved tablet. Then he quotes the second ayah, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ Surah Al-Buruj, the 85th surah, ayahs 21 and 22, with the explanation, rather it is a glorious Qur'an contained in the preserved tablet. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning اللوح المحفوظ, the preserved tablet, with which Allah wrote the decreed measures of all the created things. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك